greet you in the name of our wonderful, wonderful Savior today. What a joy it is to be a part of His family and to serve Him. I might just mention that for the sake of visitors, Joe said about going back to the hospital on the 12th, I think that's Saturday, and that is Joe is a candidate for a heart transplant, and so he could be called anytime there's a heart that waiting for him, and he's been waiting now for some months, but so we just pray that can happen with Joe. Women in God's Kingdom is the title I have for the message. Of course, today is Mother's Day, and I guess I probably, in thinking of Mother's Day, I pretty much always included all of our sisters, young and older and so on, in this special day of Mother's Day. But I'm thinking of women in God's kingdom. First of all, I want to go to Ecclesiastes. And somehow my mind was drawn to this. These verses here in Ecclesiastes, we hear them occasionally. But thinking of God's plan for the human race and how that everything has its time and season and so on. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time of love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Now, somehow my mind was drawn to those verses as I thought about what is God's plan for the human race. And as we look back, I think we can, in time and so on in the scriptures, we can understand a little more what his plan is. God's plan for the human race comes about by a lot, not by what so many people are being taught today. So many people are taught that we are just a product of certain chemicals coming together with a strike of lightning, and somehow out of that, we are here after evolutions of many, many millions and millions of years. Or that we are a result of some random chance of a biological process in our lives. And we are being fed all kinds of things like that. But we are here today because we have been made by a loving Creator that has a purpose for us. And I trust that we believe that today. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here. But a lot of the things that I want to share here are just basic. And it's good for us to be reminded, because there is a lot of garbage and so on that is being promoted today in our society. Start with Genesis. Genesis is called, of course, is the book of beginnings. And in Genesis, we have the creation. We have the account of God making all the things, the sun, moon, and stars, and the earth, and all the animals, and all of those things. But we come down to the sixth day in this creation that God made. And He made man. He made Adam as that first person here on the earth. And He got that all done, and then He had the seventh day, and that was a day of rest. But we find that there was still one more creation to happen. And as I read the scriptures, I think that this 7 days happened, and I'm not sure how long of time there was after that. But there was one more act of creation, and we find that then in chapter 2 of Genesis, starting at verse 18, and that is where He made a help that was suitable for Adam. He made woman. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help that is suitable for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. So Adam was there, and the animals passed in front of him, and he gave names to each one of those. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But there was a purpose. Adam was looking for something as he gave them names. It says, "But for Adam there was not found an help that was suitable for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And he names her, "This shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And so we have that special creation there. I couldn't think of any other creation that happened afterwards. But we have that last act of creation where God made a woman. And so I think it was a very special creation. Both man and woman were made, I believe, in the image of God. They were similar and yet very different. I believe He made so that both could connect with the Creator. Woman, man and woman both were able to have a relationship with God. And while He gave them different responsibilities and different makeups, both have that relationship, can have that relationship with the Lord. And so we see that special creation that God made when He made a woman and made women. Now we go to chapter 4, and there was another aspect now to this creation, and that is when it comes to procreation. And that is where God chose the way to have the human race grow. That didn't seem to happen until after the fall. And I tend to think that there wasn't a lot of time in between that when Adam and Eve were created and the fall. But I don't know. We have no way of knowing. But at least the procreation, the having children, did not happen until after the fall, even though the possibility was there, because when God first made man, He told him to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so we have the children being born then to Adam and Eve. And by the way, in chapter 3, verse 20, we have Adam again giving a name. Remember, he named all the animals. He named Eve as, first of all, as woman. She was to represent all women. But then he gave her a special name in verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. And the reason for that is because she was the mother of all living. All of us have the same mother. Think about that. All of us have the same mother. I don't care who you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care where you come from. And whether you're man or woman, all of us have the same mother. And so as we celebrate Mother's Day today, I guess that's one mother we can all celebrate, can't we? Maybe our mother isn't living anymore, and so on. But that is a mother that we can remember. Of course, Eve isn't living either. But we can all look back to one woman as our mother, Eve. Now, women have been and continue to be a very important part of the kingdom of God. And we think of the kingdom of God mainly here in New Testament terms, but already in the Old Testament, God had a very important place for women. And starting, of course, with Eve. In the Old Testament, you have the story of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And she played a very important part in Abraham's life. She is the mother of the Jewish nation and a mother that is faith. I went over into Hebrews chapter 11, which we know of as a faith chapter, and I wanted to see how many women were recorded there in that faith chapter. And of the different people that are mentioned. And I found three. I found two of them that were named. And that was Sarah and Rahab, the harlot. But I caught another one that I never really stopped to think about before. And that is, it mentions the parents of Moses. And so while it doesn't name her, I think her name was Jochebed. But it would mention Moses' mother also as being in that faith chapter. But in the Old Testament, we have Sarah, we have Hannah, one that we all know of is the mother of Samuel. We have Queen Esther that played a very important part in saving the nation, the Jewish nation. We have Ruth that became, she was of Moab, a Moabitess, and became a... what about a great-great-grandmother or something like that of David and was in the lineage of David. Rahab, as we already mentioned, and Moses' mother and many other women played a part in the Old Testament that we have and that we see in the Scriptures. Now, we come to the New Testament and we see something in the ministry of Christ that is very, very important. Women in that day were of very low status generally. Women were oftentimes looked at as property. And they were looked at as not very important. From what I read, oftentimes a woman could not give witness in a court because she was a woman. And women... sometimes could not own property. Now, sometimes we see where they did. And that, I think that kind of varied. But their status was usually a very low status in society. And one of the surprising things that Jesus did was that women were an important part of his ministry. And we see how Jesus took included women in his ministry and gave them, they had certain responsibilities and so on, and played a big part in them. Just to mention some that were a part here in the New Testament. Go to the book of Luke. You know, it's interesting. In the book of Luke, we see mention a number of times about the women, and probably not an accident, because I get the feeling that probably Luke talked a lot to Mary and got some of his information from Mary, the mother of Jesus, and naturally I think she would have also referred to the other women. But in Luke chapter 1, we see where Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother. We find out what the Lord thought of her. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah." That's his course as far as being a priest. "And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And here's what God thought of them. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." And Elizabeth was a righteous woman. We see over in verse 41 where Mary comes to her. Mary being had already met the angel and so on. And Mary comes to her, and it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she began to speak and prophesy there." Elizabeth was a very important, I believe, person in the Scriptures and in the life of her son, John the Baptist. I think she had a big influence on him. Now we come to Mary, was another one, the mother of Jesus. And here again, probably of all the women in the Bible, Mary is the one that is probably spoke of as much as anyone and held in high regard. But in that same chapter, in Luke chapter 1, in verse 30, well, we have in verse 31, "The angel saying to Mary, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." What a call that was on her life. And you just have, I've tried to think already, how did God decide on that particular young lady? I don't know. But he trusted that young lady to bring forth his son, Jesus. And then in that call, she responds in verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." She accepted that tremendous call on her life. We could go on to Luke chapter 2 and we can read where Mary and Joseph there in the stable, and Jesus being born, and we read about those things that happened there. And twice in that chapter we read there in verse 19, it says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And then over in verse 51 again, we have, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And, you know, what a special mother that Jesus had. She was there throughout his ministry. We occasionally see glimpses of her. We see her at the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, we see his mother being there. We also see the last mention we have of her is in the book of Acts, where she was in the upper room with the rest of the apostles, and a number of people were there, and I think she was there then, of course, on the day of Pentecost. But what a tremendous woman that was there, and a model for, I believe, all Christian women. Going back again, as Jesus was a little baby, we see another woman that came into his life that touched him, and that was Anna. As they took him to the temple for dedication over in Luke chapter 2. And she was called a prophetess. And she blessed him there in the temple. A very important blessing there and prophecy. We see a couple of sisters that was very important in the life of Christ. Mary and Martha. And they lived in Bethany, not too far from Jerusalem. And it seemed like Jesus would often stay there when he was passing through that area. But Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus was very good friends with them. We remember the story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha coming and scolding and telling Jesus, get her out here to the kitchen and help. Because she was very busy with making all the preparations. And Jesus said, no, Mary's chosen the better things. And so that's usually what we oftentimes think about Martha. But when you read about Martha then at the before Lazarus was raised from the dead after she had died, or he had died and Jesus came to them, we have Martha confessing to Jesus that, yes, you are the Christ, the one that we've been looking for. And so both of them were very important women in the life of Christ. We have Mary Magdalena and others. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, the first three verses. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many other women, which ministered unto him of their substance. And here it seemed like as he traveled, we usually think of him traveling with the 12 disciples, but it seemed like also, at least at times, a number of women also traveled with them. And they ministered to them, took care of physical needs and so on, and were a real blessing to the ministry of Christ. It's also interesting to see that it was women that first went to the tomb. After he was buried, and then the next morning, early in the morning, there was a group of women that went to the tomb and, of course, discovered that the tomb was empty. It was to a woman that Jesus first spoke after his resurrection. That, of course, was Mary Magdalene. And it was an honor that he did. So here again, we just see the importance of women in the ministry of Jesus and how much he used them in that ministry. We have later on in the book, or also in the book of John, we have the woman, we say the woman at the well, and one that we're familiar with there in John chapter 4. One that said to Jesus, how come you speak to me? You're a Jew. How do you even speak to me? And Jesus offered her that living water. And when she understood, she went back and told the men of the city, come and see this man, one that told me all I ever did. Is not this the Messiah? And became, you might say, an evangelist for Jesus and a witness for him. And so, again, Jesus went to a woman for that. And so we see that Jesus did a lot for the status of women. We can see some cultures today how women are used and misused in them. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus has elevated and brought women to their rightful places. Don't believe the lies that are sometimes put out there that the Bible brings women under bondage. That's simply not true. But God has liberated and freed the women to be the kind of, or the people that he wants them to be. I'd like to just stop and think a little bit, men. Can you imagine coming to church in a congregation of all men? That thought just about depresses me. To come to, if you would come to a service, come to church, and it would be only men in a congregation. And God knew what he was doing when he made women to also be a part of the kingdom of God, just as much as men are. Our sisters, young, older, married, single, play such a vital part of our congregation. They're such an important part of our congregation. They give life. They give warmth. They give stability and many other things. And I just want to say thank you to our sisters for all that they do here in the congregation and for the kingdom of God. Thy Kingdom Come is our theme for this year. And it's been something that we've heard quite a bit about. But I just wanted to emphasize the fact today that our sisters are a very important part of that kingdom. And that the Lord uses them in a marvelous way. And I'm just so thankful for it. I'd like to close with a poem that I came across. I have it here somewhere. I just came across it this week. It comes out of a little magazine that I get called Plain Interest. And it's written by a Mrs. Rosa Meller. I don't know where she's from. But she writes it from the perspective of being a wife and a mother. And as I read it, I thought it was something that I would like to share. It says, "A time for everything." There's a time when a young girl steps into the heart of a man and they become as one. I was that girl. There's a time when two souls add more souls to the world and wonder how it all happened. I am one of those. There comes a time as a wife when you suddenly realize you truly are a mother too. I am that mother. There are times when a mother must make 93 decisions in 60 minutes. And I'm that mother. There are times when a mother wonders if she can truly bloom where she is planted. I have been that mother. There are times when to do the laundry seems harder than stopping the flow of a river. And so it is with me. There are times when the work is endless and the cares and the worries are too. And so it is with me. There are times as a wife when you wonder if your dear husband ever thinks of more than himself. I have sometimes been that wife. And then there are times as a wife when you are humbled by all or by what all your dear man does for you. I am that wife. There are times when babies cry and cry and cry with no clue to the mother why. I have been that mother. There are times when the children are sick and grumpy, and as a mother you feel depressed. I know that mother. There are times when things are mostly calm. The mother laughs and sings, and she wouldn't trade places for the world. I know that mother too. There are mothers who rise at 5 a.m. to start a project because of interruptions don't actually start until 8 o'clock. Do I know this mother? There are times when a mother must say to herself, I need to decide between my will and theirs. I really know this mother. There are some mothers who don't have it. You know, the unreachable thing called management. I'm definitely that mother. There are some mothers who run all day and don't even manage to catch their own tail. I am that mother. There are times as a mother when tears are shed for what one cannot do. Oh, it seems so unfair. I wish I didn't know this mother. There are mothers who, no matter the trials, are so submissive and cheerful. Oh, to be that mother. Then there are mothers with an inner patience and a love that never runs dry. God bless those mothers. And then in parentheses, and I hope he blesses me too. You know, it seems like mothers are something we don't fully appreciate until we get older. I know as when I was younger and so on, you just kind of take your mother for granted. And, oh, sure, you appreciate her and so on, but it seems like it's not until you get older that oftentimes we don't really appreciate our mother and all the things that she's done for us. And so I trust today that this can be a day that we do honor our mothers and really honor all our sisters for the blessing that they are to the kingdom of God. Lord bless you. Let's stand for our closing prayer. Loving Father, we come to you this morning in thanksgiving to you for all that you have done, for how that you have worked in our lives and our hearts. And today we want to especially thank you for the sisters and for the ladies that are here. Lord, for each one. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless them, use them in whatever way that you have called them to, Lord. Help them to really just be a blessing as they reach out to others and as they live life, that they can live it to the fullest and live it to please you. Lord, we thank you for each one here today. And I just pray, Lord, you would guide us all. Guide us all that we can have a heart for you and that, Lord, we can serve you faithfully each day of our lives. And we thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you for the food that's been prepared for us. We thank you for the time that we can have as we fellowship around a meal together. We ask your blessing upon it. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.